think we just need to give the Lord a little bit more time. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and praise him. I trust in God. Sister Jennifer said it earlier. He will never fail because he can never fail. There's no failure in God. He's the one who will never fail. I would, but I was trying to not sing because my voice is going on. I was starting coughing and hoarse, and I say, you know what, I got to stop singing. It's hard to stop singing the songs of Zion. It's hard to not to sing, and Sister Dolores brought it up earlier. She said he inhabits the praises of his people.
Yeah.
Oh, he's good.
Yes, he is.
All the time. All the women had a good time. They had a time, what a time, what a time.
Yeah.
Let's just give the Lord a hand praise for the women's retreat. I said my wife wasn't going to go without me never again, and she did it again. But I thank God, you know, last time I was a mess. I cut myself. I left my wallet at home. I was a mess. This time I didn't cut myself. I didn't forget anything. I'm proud of myself.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
No cuts.
No cuts. I'm telling you that God is good today. You know, we had a wonderful powwow. That brother right there just wore it out. If you don't know about it, powwow is something. You might want to visit. It's something, because the word of the Lord goes forth. And I'm telling you, today we're going to talk about sin. The topic is up there, and separation, and stay connected. Stay connected. Amen. Father, we thank you this afternoon for the word of God, for the people of God. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you. Your word is living. Your word is powerful. We see the power of your word going forth. We saw it as the women went forth in worship and in the word at the retreat. We thank you, Lord. It continued. The fire continued to burn this morning and power out, and it continues even until now. Sister Jennifer brought us songs of worship and praise, and we just say thank you. Oh, we just worship you now. We thank you, Lord, for the people of God, the families that are here. We're thankful, Father, for every heart, every home, every situation, because you're greater, you're bigger than all our problems. You're bigger than our fears. You're bigger than all the things, the questions we have in our hearts. Today, God, we just invite you in. We thank you, Lord. You said where two or three are gathered together in your name, you're in the midst of them. God, we welcome you this afternoon in the house of prayer. Those on the social media, those in the house, God bless each one with a blessing today. May seeds be planted in each prepared heart, God, that it may bring forth good fruit, that you may be glorified in Jesus' name. We thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So sin and separation, stay connected. When we find ourselves in one accord with one mind, prayer, praising the Lord, you know, we're connected. We're connected to the vine, the true vine. So the first word in this title is sin. We know what sin is. I think I don't have to tell you. It comes from a word, hamartia. It means missing the mark. If I wanted to just give it a simple explanation, it's missing the mark. And it's like if I had a dartboard and I had a dart in my hand, and the only way I can win this is to get a bullseye. But if it's one thing to put the bullseye at that wall, it's another thing to put the bullseye on the other side of the street and have me trip. Because every time I throw it, I don't care how hard I throw it, I'm going to miss the mark. I'm not going to be able to get to it. It's like trying to jump from San Pedro or Long Beach over to Catalina Island 3 miles away. I don't care how far back you start. You can start in mid-downtown L.A. and keep running fast as you can. I don't care how far back you go. You're going to jump. And you're going to land in the water, and you're probably going to drown because you're going to miss the mark. Well, that's what sin is. Sin is missing the mark, because there's a standard set up. God set up the standard, and he's the standard.
Yeah.
Holiness is the standard. We can't meet that standard, so he had to come and help us. So sin and separation. We all know about separation. You know why? Because you were in your mother's womb at one time, and then you came out, and you were connected with an umbilical cord. And then when you came out, what'd they do? They snipped that thing. And you are no longer with your mama. You're separated from your mama. And isn't it interesting that God says when a man leaves his mother and father, he goes and clings to his wife, and the two become what? Reconnected. Reconnected. We are born disconnected. We are born with birth defect. Everybody is born with a birth defect called sin. You're born that way, and because you're born that way, guess what? That means your nature is to do what? Sin. Because you were born in sin. So don't try to act like we all holy and we don't sin, we don't mess up, because we all in the same boat. But sin and separation are connected. There is a connection between the two. Isaiah 59 and 12, 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save, nor his ear impaired that he cannot hear. But your wickedness has separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he cannot hear. So sin and separation go together. Separation brings a wall. There's a wall between me and God. And that's just how we're born. And there's nothing we can do about this. Nothing we can do about it. But God did something about it, didn't he? James 1:14 says, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us, drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when that sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. The sin and separation connection, because what is the definition of sin? I mean, of the definition of death. The definition of death is separation. That's what death is. It's separation. When you die physically, you separate from your soul and spirit. When you die spiritually, you're separated from God. There's two types of separation, and there's two types of death. You die physically, and if you don't watch out, you'll die spiritually. That's what you don't want to do. And we know that's true because this is what God told Adam. He says, if you eat that fruit, you're going to die. And when he ate the fruit, the Bible says that he was separated from God, but he didn't physically die. He physically lived. He lived to be 930 years old. So he lived a long time after he physically died, spiritually died. He spiritually died. So being separated is an interesting thing, because we can be separated to God and from the world, or we can be separated from God. Amen. So Judges is where I'm going next. Judges chapter 13. We're going to look at the story of a man. His name is Samson. You've heard of Samson. Samson was a man. He was a mighty strong man. The interesting thing was he was strong, but why was he strong was the question. Because he probably looked like me, skimpy dude, but he had power. But his power came from his anointing. Came from his, he had a vow. It's called a Nazirite vow. And that vow gave him connection with God. Now, it's interesting, the Nazirite vow, anybody could take it. If you wanted to take the Nazirite vow, you could do it. You could do it. All you have to do is say, I'm going to take a Nazirite vow, and you determine when you start the vow and when the vow is over. But Samson was actually born. Let's read this. Verses 3 through 5 in the Judges chapter 13 says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman, this is Manoah, his father's wife, the woman, and said to her, indeed now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat anything unclean. Just real quickly, it's interesting that he told her who was about to bear this child not to drink wine, because remember, the baby's nourishment comes from mama. And then it goes on, and interestingly, and we'll see how this plays out, for verse 5 says, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for he shall be a Nazirite to God from the womb. There's only three men in Scripture that were Nazirites from the womb, that were Nazirites for life. Samson, Samuel, and then who's the third one? John the Baptist. They were Nazirites. Jesus was not a Nazirite. He was a Nazarene. They're spelled differently, totally different. They're not connected. All right, just FYI. So he will be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So he had a job to do. Samson came up in the time of the judges. After Joshua died, remember who Joshua was? He took over when Moses died. Moses brought him out of captivity in Egypt, and Joshua would take him out of the wilderness into the promised land where Joshua died. When Joshua died, God gave them judges. This was before the kings. The kings hadn't come up. There's no David. There's no Saul. There's no Solomon. So they were basically military leaders, and they led them to battle against warring nations. But Samson, he was a unique judge in that he didn't have an army. He did it single-handedly with the power of God that came with his Nazarite vow. So Samson was a Nazarite from the womb. Now, this was a vow that was instituted and instigated by God. And that brought Samson into a relationship and a sacred covenant. And we'll see how, we're not going to read all of it, but he took that covenant for granted. And his life was a mess. And so we read in chapters 13, 14, 15, I'm not going to read any of that stuff. I'm just going to kind of tell you what's going on. Chapter 13 is where he's born. Chapter 14, now here's where things start to get real sticky. He's a grown man. He knows there's three things that he's not to do. He's not to touch anything dead or come near anything dead. He's not to drink anything with alcohol in it. He's not even to drink. He's not even to eat grapes. He couldn't even eat raisins. That's part of his vow. And he could not have he had seven locks of hair. He could not cut his hair. All those connect him to the covenant that he had with God. And he was to live by that covenant all the days of his life in conquering the enemies of Israel, the people of God. And it turns out, as you read in chapter 14, the things he was not supposed to do, he starts doing. He kills a lion, and he leaves the dead lion, goes to town, comes back, and the lion is dead, and now a beehive has been set up in the dead carcass, and he reaches in and eats the honey out of this dead carcass. First of all, it's nasty. The second of all, he's breaking his covenant with God. And the second thing happened in that same chapter. I think it's the same chapter, 14. Yeah, I think it's the same chapter. He has a drinking party with his buddies. He's not supposed to drink alcohol. What you'll read in your version, you'll say it says he had a feast. But you look at the translation, it was a drinking party. That's what it was. You probably know about them. I don't know about you. I used to have drinking parties. We had them all the time. Pretty much every weekend we had drinking parties. So he's broken one. He touched a dead animal. He's broken two. He drank strong drink, and then there's a third one, and we all kind of know how that plays out in chapter 16, where actually he touched another dead animal because he took the jawbone of a dead donkey, and he went and he killed 1,000 Philistines. So he did that one twice. So I just want to show you that his covenant with God, this Nazarite vow, disconnected him from his God. We want to remain connected. You got to be obedient to God. We're in covenant with God. We are a part of a covenant that's called the New Covenant. It's a better covenant based on better promises. We have a better sacrifice and a better high priest in Jesus Christ. And we got to take that thing seriously. And so we know the story. Jezebel cuts his hair. He loses his strength. The Bible says that he shook himself like he always did, but his strength was gone. And he didn't even know. It's a sad scenario when you're connected with God and you start to drift away from God, and you get so far away from God, you don't even know that you drifted. So we have to what? Stay connected. So he was self-willed. Now, when he was called from the womb to be sanctified, to be a part of God's covenant, that word for that is called holiness. holiness, when we're called and separated to God, separated from the world, that's called holiness. When we are called saints, the same word that is used for saint is the same word for holy. Same word. And it means separated to God. Now, when he's separated from God, there's a word for that as well. That's called, anybody know? It's called apostasy. Apostasy. That means you've been separated from God. He was born separated to God, but became separated from God because what? He let his self-will get in the way. That's something we all do. We want our way. We want to do it our way. I won't go into all the details about Samson. He was a nut. He loved women. He loved women, wine, and what they say, women, wine, and song, I guess. I want to show you one more example of being separated from God. Now, this is an interesting one. This is where fear causes us to be separated from God. We lose our connection. Matthew chapter 27, verse 15 and through 57 and 58. This is Peter. We all know this story. When Jesus was arrested, and it says in chapter verse 57, it says, those who had laid hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance. And you know what? You cannot blame him for following from a distance, because they were arresting him. They were probably going to kill him. And if I were Peter and you were Peter, you would have been doing the same thing. Don't act like you wouldn't. Don't act like you're brave. You're not that brave. Okay? So it says, but Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. He sat in hiding, and we know the story. And he denied Jesus three times, so he kind of failed him. But that's what fear will do. But this is what the Bible tells us about fear. God has not given us what? A spirit of fear, but what? Love, power, and what? Soundness of mind. Amen. You all know that. So are we willing? Would you have been willing to have gone with Jesus when they arrested him and not follow him from afar, but follow him up close and say, let me in. I got to get with my Lord. Would you have been able to do that? Don't even answer that, because you don't know. I don't care how holy we think we are. I don't care how saved we think we are. We're still in the body. We're still in this flesh. Amen. So I'm going to show you one more idea about being separated from God. And this is one of the ones that's really, really, really connected to us, is fear of losing men's praise. John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43 says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, talking about Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's a powerful concept, how we live our lives as Christians. Are we ashamed of our Savior? Jesus would say what? If you confess me before men, I'll do what? I'll confess you before my Father. And if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before. Now, keep in mind, Peter did that. He denied him three times. But Jesus had told him it was going to happen. And Jesus already had Peter's plan worked out, knowing his failure. And the same applies to us. God knew our failure before we failed. Do you know God knew you were going to mess up before he even made Adam? And yet he what? Still called you? He still chose you? He still loved you? Why? Because he can't not love you. Jesus is love. God is love. You can't change your nature. Just no more than we can change ours. Our nature is to do what? Sin. Why? Because we're sinners. That's our nature. You've heard me say this before. Dogs bark because that's their nature. Cats meow because that's their nature. what is it, the rooster's got cock-a-doodle-doo in the morning, waking people up, because that's their nature. We are born in sin, we're going to sin, we're going to commit sin. This is why we must be what? Born again. We must be born again because we need to be reconnected, because we've been born separate, we've been born disconnected. Matthew 10:28 talks about it, how this has to do with how we worry about what people say about us. I think teenagers really need to hear this, because peer pressure for teens is real. But you know what? Peer pressure for adults is just as real, especially in leadership, especially in church leadership. We worry about what the preacher down the street, his building looks bigger than mine. I know I preach better than him. I should have a bigger place. That's just how we were made, though. So what am I saying to you? Get connected if you're not connected. And if you're already connected, stay connected. Don't let things cause you to split, separate from God. James 4:8, come close to God and God will come close to you. Your Bible probably says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided. You can't do that. You can't sit on the fence. Don't sit on the fence. Make a choice. You want to go on one side or get on the other side. If you ain't sure, just step down. Get off the fence. Get off the fence. Joshua 24:15. He's talking to them. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. Make a choice. If you want to live in the world, just do it. Just forget, stop wasting time. You're wasting time if you're going to sit on the fence. You like the world? Just get down and go have fun. But if you're not, if trust me, it's better not to go back in the world. You experienced that already. Where did it get you? Trust, somebody said, try Christ. There was a song years ago, Tremaine Hawkins, try Christ. Choose to be connected. And when you get connected, don't let go. Don't drift away. Don't let yourself drift. Hebrews says, so we must listen very carefully to the truth. We have heard, we made so that we may not drift away from it. You've heard the truth. Don't let it go. The Lord wants you connected. You know he wants to be connected. God wants you. The Lord Jesus wants to be. He says, my thoughts toward you more than the sand on the seashore. He's always thinking about you. Always thinking about you. I think about some of the stuff I went through, and I have to laugh now because I can see God sitting there watching me mess up, laughing at me. You silly, stupid little boy. Knowing what he was going to do. Knowing he had a way out, knowing he had a plan for me. He said, I know the plans I have for you, plans of what? Good, not evil. To give you what? A future? Yeah. And a, boy, look here. Some days you just can't do nothing but shake your head because it don't make common sense how good God is. It don't make common sense how good God is. The Lord wants to be connected to you. Jeremiah 29:13 says, seek me and you will find me. If you search for me, what? Diligently, with all your heart. You want to find me? He says, I'm available. We have a God that's available. He's right there. He's as close as your lips. What does that mean? He's as close as the name Jesus. You get in trouble, you don't have time to make a long, long prayer, say Jesus. Jesus, the name of Jesus, it changes things. It changes things in your atmosphere, the name of Jesus. There's no name greater than the name of Jesus. Do you know all the great I, you know, God is called the great I am. All those I ams that we talk about, he is the Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Sidkenu, all those Jehovah names, that are in the Old Testament. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and life. I am the door. I am the great shepherd. All those I ams are rolled into one name. And the name is Jesus. There's no name above that name. There's no name above that name. He wants to be connected to you. He says, call on me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things you've never seen before. I'm telling you, if I didn't know him and I heard that, I said, let me try that. Let me try this. This is worth trying. What's the worst that can happen? Try it. Matthew 11:28 says, come. Jesus is speaking. He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll rest you. Take my yoke upon you. He's talking to people that understood farming. They had cattle, and the cattle would yoke together. Two big oxen would yoke together, and they would walk in tandem. When one make a left foot, the other one make a left foot. When one make the right foot, the other one hit the right foot, and so on and so forth. And they would drive together. And so he says, yoke yourself with me. Now, I'm going to tell you something about it. He says, if you yoke yourself with me, he says, for I'm meek, I'm lowly in heart, you'll find rest to your soul. What is he saying? Because my yoke is easy. Why is his yoke easy? Because he can do all the work. You don't have to do the work no more. Let him do the work. He can handle it. He can handle your problems. He can handle your circumstances and situations. He's big like that. Woo! Have you looked in the sky at night lately? You see all them stars out there? Do you know he's beyond that, how big he is? Look, you cannot separate the attributes of God. If he's great in all his ways, he's great in his love for you. How big is his love? As big as he is. He's bigger than this universe, yet he thinks about me, and that his thoughts are toward me. That's a love that I can't comprehend, and you can't comprehend. All we can do is share the love we have, and that love comes from him. Because he lives in you and me. He lives in you and me. All of who he is in us, living through us. Come to me, all you that weary and heavy burden, I'll rest you. Burdened down with things in your mind, things in your life, things that are just hard to understand, hard to handle, stuff that I'm like, I don't know what to do. How am I supposed to feed the baby, get some Pampers? I ain't got no money. Where am I gonna, how am I supposed to do this? How am I supposed to live with all this pain in my body? How am I supposed to live when I can't get along in my family? How am I supposed to live when the world tells me there's no answers other than what you see? And if you can't find it out here, there's no answers. That's what the world is looking at. The world is searching for answers. The world is not giving them answers. And people are jumping off bridges because somebody told them there's no God. I'm here to tell you, not only is there a God, but there is a God that loves you. He's a God that cares for you. He's a God that thinks about you all the time. This is mind-blowing. It's revolutionary in this life that we live. He wants to be connected to you. And you know something? If you're not connected to him, you know what? The Bible says you're lost. You're lost from life itself. Because the Bible says that he is life. It's not that he just gives life. He is life. He said, I am the way. Which means what? There's another way you might be followed that's not him. The Bible says there is a way that seems right. It seems right. It feels right. It's popular. Everybody else goes this way. It seems right. If everybody says it's right, it's got to be right, right? Well, what if the Bible says is not right? Jesus says what? I'm the way. Then he says, I'm the truth. Why am I the truth? Why is that important to you that he's the truth? Because there's a God in this world. His name is the devil. And guess what he is? He's the father of lies. All that you see in the media, you can't trust what you hear in the media. Even though all of the channels say the same thing, you can't trust that. You need to get your word out. You need to get the Bible out and see if that lines up with this. And if it doesn't line up, you have a choice. Who do you believe? Whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. Amen. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So you have a choice. We all have a choice to make as far as how we treat the word of God, how we treat this important idea of being connected to God. Do you know this thing here is plugged into the wall. There's a plug. You know why? Because there's power in the connection. There's power in the connection. If you unplug it, what happens? You got no power. You got no connection. You need to have connection. I'm going to read you a story, and then I'm almost done here. This is a pastor I heard. He comes on. I get a text from him every so often. This is a story of connection. It says, yesterday, I walked out of my car after lunch, pushed the ignition button, and nothing. No click, no light, no hum, no power. Dead as a doornail. It wasn't just the engine. Everything was shut down. Even the trunk wouldn't open. I called in a higher power, AAA. And within 20 minutes, Enrique, my roadside savior, arrived. With his guidance, I discovered a tiny hidden gem inside my key fob. A physical key. Never even know it was even in there. Who knew? We popped the trunk, checked the battery, and lo and behold, the battery was 100%. The alternator also 100%. But here's the twist. The battery cable wasn't screwed on good. So every bump in the road, my power source had been sliding around, slowing, becoming disconnected. No connection, no power. Once the cable was tightened, voila, life returned. The car roared back to life. If we're disconnected from the source, guess what? We're going nowhere. We're going nowhere. And sometimes we lose connection because we've loosened our grip. You have to hold on. Hold on to his unchanging hand. Because if you hold on to his unchanging hand, he'll get you there. He'll get you there safely. He'll get you there. And when you get there, he'll plant you on a solid foundation, a solid rock. And you'll be able to, he said, I'll establish your goings. I'll give you a direction. Just listen to my voice and just follow that voice. He says, I'm a good shepherd. The good shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep, what, know his voice, and another shepherd, they will not follow. Am I right about that? Amen. And I think that was all I had to say. God bless you. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. Yes, you close it out.